In this week's parsha, Parshas Truma, we learn about the building of the Mishkan and the different kelim that were inside. One of the most difficult to understand of all the kelim in the Mishkan were the kruvim. There are a lot of discussion about what the kruvim even were. The kruvim were two figures that were built onto the top of the kaparis, which was the covering of the aron. The aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of holies, and it was an ark, and inside that ark there was the luchais and the broken luchais and the mon and all different types of things were inside the aron. And on the aron there was a covering called the kaparis, and on top of the kaparis was the kruvim, two figures. Some say kruvim like keruvia, like children, meaning was an image of a boy and of a girl. According to the Rashbam and the Chizkuni, the kruvim looked like two large winged birds. And they had wings. They looked like some sort of angels. And according to Rabbeinu Bache, it looked like an adult and a child symbolizing the transmission of the Torah, which was contained inside that aron. The kruvim, again, whatever they looked like, were formed out of the same piece of gold that was the kaparis, or the covering of the aron. There's a lot of discussion about how and why, in a world where there's so much emphasis on not creating any images at all, where we're scared of representing the Shekhinah in any physical way, why would there be a commandment, dafka, in the holiest place? And it says that the voice of Hashem emanated from between the kruvim. Why? And the Rambam says, like, that there's sort of a built-in protection for us, that there were two kruvim, because it's been ingrained in us since we're young, that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. And therefore, if there's two, it should take out any thought from our heads that these kruvim, these two figures, are representing anything divine. But the question is, why kruvim? Why would we have these two? And I'm going to leave that question aside because it's a little bit big for us to answer. I'm going to just take one very small part of the confusion of the kruvim, and let's see what lessons we can learn from there. And my question is about the positioning of the kruvim. That means these kruvim, whatever they looked like, how did they stand? The Gemara deals with the way the kruvim were placed in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara quotes two psukim that seem to contradict each other. In Shemais, in our parsha, it appears that the kruvim were placed facing each other, whereas in Divrei Hayamim, it appears that they were facing the interior of the Beis HaMikdash and not each other. So we could say that there's no contradiction here, since the first pasuk in our parsha is dealing with the original kruvim, which were in the Mishkan, while the second pasuk in Divrei Hayamim talks about additional kruvim that were made by Shlomo HaMelech for the Beis HaMikdash. So there are two different kruvim. So the kruvim of Moshe were facing each other. The kruvim of the Beis HaMikdash were facing away from each other. But the Rashbam explains the question by saying the question of the Gemara is, why should there be a difference? Why shouldn't the kruvim that were in the Mishkan, if they faced each other, then why wouldn't Shlomo HaMelech make his kruvim face each other as well? The Gemara itself suggests two answers to these contradictions. The first is that the kruvim were neither facing each other nor facing away from each other. They were at an angle. So that means that they were both facing each other and not facing each other. And one pasuk is describing it from one perspective, another pasuk from the other perspective. That would be a very simple technical answer. The second answer is that sometimes the kruvim faced each other and sometimes they faced away from each other. When Klal Yisrael were fulfilling Hashem's will, then they faced each other. And when the kruvim did not fulfill Hashem's will, they did not face each other. They faced away from each other. The Ri Migash quotes another Gemara from which it appears that there's even a third way that the kruvim looked. It's a Gemara in Yuma that says that when the people of Klal Yisrael came to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, they would open up the Paroiches. The Paroiches was the curtain that separated the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which meant that you couldn't see inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, except that during the Shalosh Regalim, they would open up this curtain and they would show them the kruvim, which were hugging each other. And they said to them, "See how beloved you are to Hashem, like the love of a man and a woman." So in this third source that we have, we see a totally different position. They weren't facing each other. They weren't facing away from each other. They were hugging each other. And the Rimigash quotes the Rif, who explains that this was a special nes that Hashem did only during the Shalosh Regalim to show Am Yisrael, to show Klal Yisrael, look at Hashem's love for you, like these Kruvim that hugged each other. Which means that when Hashem wanted to show his connection, he had them not only face each other, like we said in the first Gemara, but embrace each other. And it would make sense that this time of tremendous connection would be when it was a Shalosh Regalim, all of Klal Yisrael coming together to the Beis HaMikdash, bringing their karbanas, the achdus and the hashpa and the great inspiration that they must have had from being there together in the Beis HaMikdash would mean that it was an appropriate time for them to hug each other. However, the Gemara continues that there was another time when the Kruvim were found hugging. When the Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash and they came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they saw the Kruvim hugging each other. And they were mevaza, they embarrassed the Jews because of this Kruvim. They took the Kruvim out to the marketplace and they showed it to everyone and they said, these people of these Jews whose we hold them to be so high, or they hold themselves to be so high, and this is what they're occupied with, meaning that they were complaining that the position of the Kruvim showed us off as being immodest people. They immediately despised them, and this is a pasuk in Eicha where it says that everybody despised the Yidden because they saw our nakedness, meaning they looked at us and they looked at us in a negative way. So there's many questions on this, of course. Firstly, is the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was certainly a time of great anger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards the Jews. So if we say that the Kruvim sometimes faced away from each other, sometimes faced each other, and sometimes hugged each other, it would seem to be that during the time of the Chorban, we wouldn't expect that would be a time of such great closeness that the Kruvim would hug each other. What greater estrangement could there be than a time when the rift between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people is so great that the Beis HaMikdash has to be destroyed? And yet the Gemara says that it was specifically at this time that when the Goyim came in, they found that the Kruvim were facing one another and hugging each other. And this is the question that the Rimigash has, and he quotes two answers given by the Rif. The first is positive, that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show the Goyim the great love that had existed between him and the Jews, meaning he wanted to say, these are still my special people. The second answer is exactly the opposite. He said it was done as an extra level of punishment, that it was done so that the Gentiles would despise Am Yisrael, as indeed happened, and it would be considered as another layer of embarrassment for them, because the Eicha is certainly talking about the ways we would suffer, and this is something that we would suffer. The B'nai Yisachar gives a different explanation. He's quoting the Magen Mimezrich, and he says when two people who love each other know that they're going to be separated for a long, long time, at the moment of separation, the love between them strengthens. It gets more, because they know they're going to be separated. So too, at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that there would be a separation for a long, long, long and bitter galus, a bitter exile, this was a great moment of love between Hashem and Am Yisrael, and it was reflected in how the Kruvim not only faced each other, but actually hugged each other. And we could take it even deeper, and we could say that the Nevi'im had been coming for years and years and years, and this Chorban was a long time coming. But most often, we see this with ourselves, we see this with other people, that we could be on a slow progression to disaster, maybe perhaps in a relationship or in certain behaviors. And for years, we could be progressing towards the disaster and constantly telling ourselves, no, I have to do this better, or this is a mida I need to work on, or this is a behavior that's going to lead me to trouble. And it's only when we, so to speak, hit rock bottom that we look at the misery that we've created for ourselves, and then we realize that I need to do tshuva. It's gone beyond one day I'm going to fix this. It's something that has to happen right now. And the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, was the culmination of a long period in which the Yidden had been distancing themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the terrible, terrible destruction, the sight of a Beis HaMikdash and the dead people and the lack of leadership and the burned bricks, the burned stone, that really is what woke them up to the fact that we need to come back. Sometimes it's the violent shaking stirs us out of our complacency and says, it's time to come back. Nachbasa darkenu. Let's search, let's reflect and be very honest about what brought us here and say, we need to come back. It would appear that the Kruvim embracing each other at this very moment of Churban was showing us, it was telling us that, yes, things have hit the bottom, but once things hit the bottom, that's the beginning of the way back up. And we will come back. We say in Echa itself, Hashivenu, Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yomenu kekedem. It is only appropriate that the Kruvim should embrace at the time of the Churban, because it was the Churban which gave us the understanding that there's something that we've done terribly, terribly wrong, and there are things that need to be repaired so that we can and we must come back. I know I started with a big question. I'm leaving you with a little insight, but I think it's an insight that's very powerful for us, because sometimes there are times that we look at very, very difficult situations, and we have to realize that the difficulties are the biggest indication, if we can take them to heart, that now is the time for me to turn around, and now is the time for me to start coming back.